What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and click the subscribe button, like, comment, let us know something about the episode. If there's a particular guest or topic that you'd like to have on the podcast, we'd love to be able to take your guys' feedback and then incorporate them into future episodes. Today, I'm going to be chatting with Daniel from ProSource Diesel, and a listener of ours had recommended to have them on to talk about turbo rebuilding. So we're going to go through rebuild kits, cartridges, and when you just need to do a whole new turbo. So I'm definitely looking forward to the conversation with him and learning more about the options that are out there. Before we get to it, though, I want to remind you our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a 20% off site-wide code for you. Use code 23diesel20 at kershaw.kaiusa.com. It's a great way to save 20% off your order, get some really cool gear. So if you need a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC, or at work, around the house, they've definitely got you covered. And they've had a huge year in 2023 with a bunch of new products they've released. One of the newest ones are the Duralock models, which have a blade made out of D2 steel. There's different choices for blade shape, handle design, and the way that it opens and closes is super smooth. It keeps your fingers away from the blade when you operate it. So if you're in the market, definitely make sure head on over to their website. Use code 23diesel20 for 20% off site-wide. All right, let's get to today's podcast with ProSource Diesel and talking about rebuild kit options for our turbos and when we should just get a whole new unit. Daniel, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. Look forward to chatting with you today about a question a listener had asked us about turbo. So I look forward to jumping into that, but also learning more about you guys, the products that you offer, and just more about the company itself. So welcome again to the Diesel Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wanted to start off a bit with yourself and your kind of journey into diesel and then the company itself and a bit of the background and the products that you guys offer.
I gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, for me personally, I've been a parts guy for, I think my 10-year anniversary just passed. Fresh out of high school, that's immediately what I started doing, knew what I wanted to do. Over the years, you know, working at O'Reilly's, Napa, Ford, things like that, you know, we're in California, so you get a little walk of diesel, but majority's everything, you know, commuter cars and things like that. But, working at Ford, I really started to get experience with all power strokes and everything. Everybody wants OEM parts for their power stroke. So, moving from there to here, to ProSource Diesel, when I first came in, it was a little bit over 3 years ago. The company started in 2014, initially doing, pigtails, different wiring things. The owner's, you know, really, really big expert on wiring. And that was always, he's a master tech. So that was always his key piece was, you know, being able to diagnose any electrical issue and things like that was his expertise. So it started with a lot of hard to find pigtails, electrical things, you know, but slowly moved on to all walks of, you know, everything diesel, essentially. You know, being here, I've wrenched on a wide variety of things, you know, test fitting parts and just R&D for, you know, various models and various trucks. Lot of turbo stuff. That's probably our biggest, you know, biggest selection of parts is, you know, turbo rebuild kits and complete turbos and things like that. So pretty experienced with all of them.
What was the journey like from Ford to the aftermarket? Was it a huge change with what people were asking, things they were looking for, some of the challenges?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things that I had was, you know, cause I worked aftermarket and then went to Ford and then back to aftermarket. But terminology is a huge, huge change when, you know, having to unlearn, you know, incorrect terminology coming to the dealer and then learning what the dealer calls it. Cause everything's a module or everything's a, you know, switch instead of sensor, things like that. So, yeah, learning that going to the dealer and then coming back out of the dealer and learning what, you know, what other things are called as far as, like the 6-liter ball tubes, you know, people, there's so many names for ball tubes, you know, and just all things like that, you know, different HPOP systems and things, you know, once you spend enough time with it all, obviously, you know, you learn all the different names for it, but it, terminology was probably the biggest change between, you know, all three.
That's a really interesting point that I never really thought of, because I always worked in the aftermarket, and there would be like slang terms or just things you would hear that wasn't an official name for a part, but that's what everyone called it. And then sometimes somebody would call in and they would call it the official name, and I'd be like, I don't know what that is. What, explain to me a little bit so I can figure it out. But speaking the same language is so key with doing parts and inventory and things like that. It's really interesting that you mentioned that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, proper search things, you know, being e-commerce makes it even more difficult because nobody's looking up the same thing. You know, some people call ball tubes nipple cups. Some people, I had a guy the other day call them, feed tubes. And I was like, a feed tube. What do you mean feed tube? And he's like, yeah, the cups at the top. And I'm like, oh, ball tubes. Yeah. Yeah. I know everything about those. Yeah. That's great. But yeah, it makes it super difficult when you're listing a product and you have to find out what everyone else is calling it, especially on, like, you know, newer 6.7 stuff. You know, when we really started to get into newer 6.7 Power Stroke stuff, it's like, what does the aftermarket call it? Because Ford will just call it, you know, clamp for like an injector hold down or something like that. They, you know, their terminology is whatever the original manufacturer, the engineer wanted to call it. That's, you know, that's what they just put in their catalog.
As the company branched out from the initial, you know, fixing wiring issues and having those solutions for people, did it branch out into Cummins, Duramax, Powerstroke all at the same time and equally, or did it go into one first and then kind of bleed over into the others?
So I would say once we got into more hard parts and, you know, other things other than electrical, obviously 7.3 came first. 7.3 is kind of everybody's bread and butter. Everybody has a 7.3. And it's one of the first, you know, heavily modified trucks, you know? So that was like our first major model where we, you know, learned everything on, grew everything on. 6 liter followed shortly after, because same thing, 6 liters need a lot of parts to keep them on the road. But I would say Cummins and Duramax. Cummins was probably second approaching, you know, mass market stuff. And Duramax is still pretty heavily growing. The problem with Duramax that I find is parts. OEM Ford, they produce all kinds of parts for, you know, 20 years, 30 years. I mean, you can still get most things for a 7.3, but Duramax is more difficult. Duramax stuff, it's only through GM, and it's super, you know, super intricate, super hard to find. GM discontinues it after 5 years, so 10 years down the road, your injector connectors and things like that are failing. You know, they've already discontinued them. So, it, you know, I would say Duramax is still up and coming, but Ford and Cummins were pretty much head and head, you know, equal growth.
It's been a huge thing, I think, that's taking place and is going to continue to take place, is what you mentioned when parts are discontinued at the OEM level. And we think back to, you know, whenever we first got into diesel trucks, maybe somebody was 5 years ago, maybe it was 10, mine was about 15 or so. And so in my head, I still think of like an LBZ or a 5.9 Common Rail as relatively new, but it's not. And then we want to keep them running. They're fantastic trucks that achieved a level of power and torque that is just, it's so useful for everyday towing, hauling, everything, longevity. But then we can't get the parts. And I think that's where the aftermarket has really stepped in. And I'm sure there's a lot of things you guys offer to be able to keep these trucks on the road when the OEMs stop supporting it. And you'd mentioned earlier turbos, and I think that is a major one that pops up with all three engine types. But a listener had messaged in, and he had a question, and he had said, I think my turbo's going out. It's just a stock one. And he goes, I see that they have kits to rebuild it. There's all new ones I can get. There's aftermarket ones. So I wanted to ask you, I'm sure it's a question you guys get a lot, is should I rebuild it What options do I have if I'm going to rebuild it? Or should I just get a whole new turbo? How do you guys guide people with that?
Yeah, so one way I generally base it is, you know, kind of their what symptoms they obviously have, right? What issues are happening? You know, simple leaks, things like that. That's probably something that could be solved with a reseal kit or, you know, like a basic rebuild kit. But one thing when, you know, a turbo's pretty severely going out, you know, you've got contact with the compressor wheel and things. You know, rebuilding is definitely a possibility, but I always try to let people understand that there's a little bit more than just buying the rebuild kit, disassemble and reassemble. One thing that's commonly overlooked is balancing. So a lot of kits, they have balancing marks and they are balanced, but to be fully balanced, you need to have a VSR balance done when it's installed. So when you have your turbine and compressor wheel all installed, you need to take it to somebody who has a VSR balancer to fully perform that. So that kind of becomes an issue of, you know, that's an unexpected cost for a lot of people. You know, it could be, I've heard prices from, you know, some guys $75, some guys $200. You know, and the machines can really be astronomical. They could be, you know, $10,000-$20,000 for a really bad used one, up to, you know, an ungodly number. I've heard millions on really high end VSR balancers. But so I mean, situations like that, new turbos are already VSR balanced, ready to install. So it does vary based on the situation you're in, but generally, you know, like I was saying, if it's got a bad seal and it's leaking into the exhaust, you'd probably get away with just, you know, doing a bearing and seal kit, just mark your parts, make sure your alignment's right when you reinstall. But anything really past that, you know, you need to explore the option of, is it worth it to rebuild and VSR balance, you know, or is it just cheaper just to replace it entirely?
I think I probably should have started with asking you what is in a rebuild kit, because I kind of jumped ahead a little bit because I know a little bit about them, but not everybody does. And there's so many new truck owners that may not know like what's in a rebuild kit. I'm sure it might vary a little bit whether it's a whole set or Garrett, but what comes in a rebuild kit?
Yeah, so I'll cover kind of general parts first and then, you know, expand out. So on the exhaust side, you have, you know, a turbine wheel and a shaft. That's your hot side of the turbo, right? The shaft it runs all the way through the turbo to the compressor wheel. But along the shaft, you'll have, you know, bearings, depending on what design, journal bearings normally. They're generally brass, like in our kits, they're brass. Some models will have a spacer in the center. Some of them, it's not necessary by design. Then you'll have on the turbine shaft, it's a step gap oil seal is what it's called, but it's essentially a piston ring, you know, that's designed instead of, you know, in and out, up and down. It's more for round and round play. So it goes onto the turbine, and as it's spinning in the center cartridge, it holds the oil in. You'll have two of those, one on turbine, one on compressor side. On the compressor side, you'll have a thrust collar, or, you know, most of them call it a thrust collar, but and then a thrust bearing. The collar will hold the step gap seal, and then the bearing will be on the other side on the collar as well. And then on the very front, you have your compressor wheel. You know, CAS is your general stock replacement. Billet is your upgraded design. There's not much in the terms of different materials for turbine wheels because of the heat. You can't do billet. So CAS is really the only way those go.
Somebody had asked on our YouTube channel recently, and I didn't mention this to you before, but about wheels and material, cast versus billet. I think that's something that people may focus on when they're making this decision of, do I rebuild it or do I get a whole new one? And they're going to see that option. What would you say is the biggest benefit to one versus the other that they would notice in the truck that might sway them one way or the other?
Yeah. So, I mean, your OE manufacturers like Garrett and everything like that, they're still throwing cast wheels and everything, you know, Garrett Power Max or an upgraded turbo, like many of our spool logics have billet. The cast wheel, it's much heavier. It's pretty porous, you know. It'll sometimes have, you know, very small pitting and things like that in it. When you're moving that much airflow, it's gonna take its toll. You know, it's more prone to get dirt buildup, things like that. With a billet wheel, it's, you know, CNC billet. Everything's super, super smooth, super tight machining, and it's much lighter. So a lighter wheel will spin faster. And one thing that I don't see a lot of brands really put out there, but longevity. Longevity is, you know, that turbo's spinning, you know, astronomical numbers all the time. That weight is going to make a difference on how your bearings wear and what kind of longevity you see out of it. So, then, I mean, for the most part, quicker spool, being lighter, you will see a little bit faster takeoff, a little bit, you know, faster boost numbers. And billet wheels are done by the aftermarket, which is, you know, aftermarket generally makes upgrades on anything they do. So aerodynamics have changed, number of blades have changed, you know, for different purposes. Me personally, if anytime I would be doing a rebuild kit, I would always spend the extra and go for a billet, unless the customer's just adamant, no, I just want to save cost. I just want to keep the cost of this down. Or they live in California and have emissions where you do have to put a factory cast wheel back in it to maintain OE. But yeah, billet's generally the way to go.
Now, if they've got on this turbo, say it's past where just a seal kit would work and the compressor housing's contacted or the compressor wheel's contacted the housing, so they've got to do something. What options do they have, like a cartridge versus a whole new turbo? What things should they look for or evaluate when making that decision?
Yeah, so certain models have cartridges. So your common rail Dodges, your 03 to 07s, we offer what's called a cartridge, which is turbine wheel, all bearings and seals, compressor wheel, and the center housing, all in one, pre-installed. It's VSR balanced, just ready to go in the truck. The only thing you have to change over is compressor housing and turbine housing, which it's a great option to go. If anybody's looking to still save some cost, I do recommend doing a cartridge over a rebuild kit any day of the week. You know, other models, they offer them for, we have them for 7.3, 6.0 because the VGT, not really. And then other, you know, other whole set models are on their way. There's still patents in place and things like that, but they're definitely coming. But in a good instance, like, you know, 6.0, part of the reason cartridges and things like that aren't common is because Garrett makes the turbo so affordable to begin with. I mean, a full rebuild kit from us for a 6.0 is $499. But if you look at a Garrett replacement turbo, you know, a lot of times you see them, prices fluctuated a lot recently with inflation and stuff, but either $899 or $999, right? So it's not a huge difference once you tack in, you know, your own labor hours and the cost of having it balanced. You know, 6.0s are kind of prone to the issue of having the center cartridge wear out. You know, step gap seal will wear through, things like that. So it might not, you know, rebuilding at the end of the day might not even be an option. But Yeah, I mean a lot of OE turbos are kind of cost effective comparatively.
Does the rebuilding option change a lot when we're talking VGTs versus the older fixed geometry turbos?
It does, but doesn't. I mean, essentially your main parts are the same, but when you go to a VGT turbo, and first I'll go into Garrett's, because Garrett uses the same VGT on Duramax and Powerstroke. The unison ring is really simple to replace. The unison ring is essentially the guide for the vanes, for the variable geometry, how the air flows. It's pretty simple to replace. You're already in there. It's doing the vanes. Also, same thing, fairly simple. It's kind of time consuming because you have to line them all correctly. But then VGT solenoids add into those. The part where it gets tricky is once you get to other brand VGT turbos. So, like 6.4 VGT, the whole design is entirely different because Garrett owns the patent on their style. So, everybody has to come up with their own idea. So 6.4s can definitely be tricky to install. They're, I would say, a lot more prone to have issues, because if you don't get the alignment right, the vanes will contact the turbine wheel and then, cab off again. Let's start over. Whereas Holset has an entirely different system called a nozzle ring, or at least that's what, commonly referred to as a nozzle ring. And it's vanes that kind of shutter in and out of the turbine housing, so they'll come out to change the geometry. So it's definitely a different approach. But the problem with whole sets with their VGTs is you have to have specific technology and specific service tools to calibrate the actuator to the new VGTs. So that, the average guy rebuilding in his garage probably won't have the capabilities to do it effectively. I'm sure he could get it done, and there's a lot of tricks out there to make it happen. But for a properly set up system, it's kind of tricky. But yeah, so I mean, various kits come with various things, specific to the VGT. On our site, we have master kits listed for each one, so that anytime it says master kit, it's going to include everything, all VGTs that are offered anyway, and all the rebuild components.
I imagine a lot of times when people call you guys and either the turbo's completely failed or they know it's going too soon and they're going to fix it, it's a great time to do some upgrades that could be there. What are some things people should think about if they're just like, I don't want to rebuild it. I'm not going to just do a cartridge. It's a great time. I always told myself when the turbo went out, I'd, do some upgrades to it. What are some options that are there or things that they can take advantage of at, the time the OEM turbo fails and they're going to put something better on it?
Yeah, so I mean, one instance, like we were talking earlier, was the billet wheel. Billet wheel is definitely something to take advantage of. One thing a lot of the 6.0, early 6.0 and LLY guys have that everybody's jealous of is that 10-blade turbine. All of our 6.0 rebuild kits come with the 10-blade turbine, so you get the Boeing 747 sound taken off and things. When you're looking at rebuilding like a Garrett, 6 liter turbo, you can essentially custom make your own power max. So with some of the kits we offer, compressor housing upgrade kits, and then turbine housing upgrade kits, you can get, a 63 millimeter compressor wheel. You can get the larger, 03 style turbine wheel, and put it on any 6.0 base cartridge. Duramax, it's a little tricky. We have compressor housing upgrade kits for a lot of those right now, but the turbine housing is what changed so much on those. So they're a little, they're a lot more intricate, especially because Garrett has replaced the old LOI LBZ turbos and changed them to LMM. So a lot of people run into that issue. They've already replaced the turbo once before, and now it's an LMM. So the turbine housing, nothing's going to fit the same. But a similar idea with Holset, they have compressor housing upgrade kits as well, or we have compressor housing upgrade kits for Holset turbos. So you can get a 63 millimeter compressor wheel, and it comes with a housing, backing plate for some of the newer ones, the 07.5 to 12, 6.7s, and, make a lot more boost, a lot larger wheel. So more airflow overall. Those would be some of the main things I would definitely, entertain when you're doing a rebuild. If you just want a little bit faster spooling, you can get any of the cartridges we offer with a billet wheel, so a decent upgrade over stock still, while still maintaining factory sizes.
Thought of a loaded question to ask you, but I think a listener is going to be wanting to ask it, or they would ask you guys. Mm-hmm. And that's when the trucks get a little bit more mileage on them, or maybe they just bought one that has, over 100,000 miles on it. And outside of the catastrophic turbo failure where you just know right away, what are some warning signs or things they may notice as the condition of the turbo deteriorates? So maybe they could catch it before there's just, the compressor house or compressor wheel explodes or falls off or just sends metal into the intercooler. What, is it a sound? Is it their EGTs are higher than they used to be? What would they see?
Yeah. So sometimes you can see with EGTs, EGT situations fluctuate a lot, right? So tuning makes a huge difference, So you can see minor differences like that with EGTs just on the performance of the truck itself. But generally, one of the oldest rule of thumb is play in the wheel, right? Up and down play. If it doesn't contact the housing, it's still within an acceptable spec, right? But any in and out play, so if you're looking at the front of the turbo and you can push the wheel in or out, that's shut it down. I would really look into replacing or repairing before, trusting it to really go much further. Those would be the two, biggest giveaways. If your play is pretty excessive, I'm going to say on a used turbo, because a lot of new turbos nowadays, the bearing design's upgraded. So when you get them out of the box, they're dry. So they're a little loose, until they hit that break in. But on a worn in turbo, your play, if it's coming close to the housing, I would definitely start to consider, consider at least doing bearings and seals. You might be able to prevent it. But there's potential that there's other things, turbines warped or things like that. So you'd really have to take it apart and inspect. With VGT trucks, you can kind of see if you have a scanner, one way to tell is watching the command for the VGTs, just to see where it's at, what it's asking for. If it's going, way out of spec, chances are it's, starting to wear out or things like that. With 6-liter design, you can kind of see it get stuck for a second in it. That comes down to pitting. So pitting on the unison ring will cause it. Sometimes you can get away with that by taking it off, anti-seizing it, and it'll help prevent pitting. Chances are it will come back in the future, though.
How does maintenance factor into turbo health with excuse me, oil changes? Lack of it. Like, have you guys seen turbos where, somebody didn't do an oil change for 15,000-20,000 miles and it just, of course, it's going to damage the engine, but then also affect the turbo itself?
Yeah. So oil is probably, well, not probably, it's definitely the biggest factor in turbos. A lot of people that'll go excess mileage without an oil change, you know, particulates are starting to make their way onto those bearings. And the best way to kind of explain it is the same thing as, you know, you get material on your main bearings or cam bearings. It's the same idea with the turbo, but much smaller. So smaller particulates will get in there and start to just erode away that bearing, and then, you know, pretty catastrophic failure. Oiling is probably the biggest issue I see. You know, people not using proper oil, not, you know, doing their oil changes in a decent period of time. One thing with like whole set turbos to really consider is your feed and drain line as well. You know, if one common issue we see with a new install of a turbo, immediate failure is people not using a new drain line, or with the flexible style drain lines that Cummins and Dodge offer now, is kinking the line. So, you know, they're just gravity fed, so oil can't escape, and then your turbo is going to leak oil. Ford on the 6-liter did an updated style line. Those I consider, you know, maintenance at this point. If Ford updates a line, or somebody makes an updated line in the aftermarket, definitely go to that updated style line, change that out. It's a lot easier than doing a turbo in most cases. But yeah, oil, I would say, would be the biggest issue. On some of the Duramax models nowadays, you know, coolant could be an issue as well. You know, I know for 6-7 Power Strokes, we recommend doing the coolant feed line as well, because those are known to just blow out over time. You know, the rubber line will get eroded, and some external things I would consider maintenance on turbos.
That's a really good point to bring up, because when I think of doing a turbo replacement, I just in my mind think of the turbo itself. Mm-hmm. But it's a great time to be able to, you know, address other things, maybe boots. Maybe if the truck's, you know, old and are they starting to get cracked? Could they get cracked? It's a great time to do it, or clamps. And then also, as you mentioned, the feed line, the drain tubes, other things that factor into the price of it, but it's so convenient to do while you're already there. Yeah. Versus having to go back and do it. Is there, outside of the feed line, the drain tube, the coolant line, how should we just replace boots at that point, going from the compressor housing to the charge pipe? Is it just a best practice just to do it while we're in there, you know, changing the turbo or upgrading the turbo?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely a few things specific to each model you would really want to do. You know, with 7.3s, every model needs CAC boots when you're installing a new turbo, especially if you go to, you know, even just doing a billet compressor wheel. Those old boots are definitely going to show their age. You're going to have pinhole leaks. And then you're just chasing down another problem. But I would definitely say replacing the intercooler boots or CAC boots, on like 7.3 models, changing out those vacuum lines and the wastegate solenoid, the electric part of the wastegate system, doing those two every time, pretty much necessary, unless you're having back-to-back turbo failures. On Cummins models, and I would say do the manifold while you're there. You know, if same situation, unless you just replaced it fairly recently, most cases you're taking it off anyway. So do the manifold while you're there. You know, the same manufacturer that, you know, we offer all of the turbos and rebuild kits, they also offer 5.9 manifolds and 6.7 manifolds, or common rail 5.9 manifolds, I should say, that are high flow. So you see a lot better flow through them, faster spooling to the turbo, and you're going to be in there. So, you know, save yourself the labor from having to do it later down the road, because Cummins they're going to crack at some point. They're going to warp. And, you know, the spoologic manifolds are definitely something to do while you're there. If you're doing rebuild kits, I mean, most of our our kits come with essentially everything. But, you know, if you're swapping turbos or things like that, you know, definitely looking at solenoids, you know, anything wastegate control around it. Like I was saying on the 7.3. 6.0, there's, you know, there's an endless amount of stuff up there that, you know, you definitely want to consider while you have the turbo off, because, you know, anything underneath, you're going to be taking the turbo off just to get to it. But yeah, same thing with those charge air cooler boots. You know, all of your feed and drain lines, you know, on many Duramax models, the only way to do feed and drain is with the turbo off. So I would recommend replace them every time you have it off. Just save yourself the headache. They're not very expensive for the most part. You know, doing it every time, if you replace six turbos, you're still going to come out ahead than having to take off a turbo once to do a drain line. Trying to think on, you know, various for 6.0, things like that. Essentially everything else is your, you know, your standard kind of wear and tear items.
It was a really good suggestion with the manifolds, and I imagine even up pipes too, depending on the age of the truck. And when you have everything out, it's, I know on the 5.9s, it's a big issue with cracking manifolds or warping, you know, and while you're there, there's a great opportunity to replace it. And I'm sure, you know, on up pipes, you can, when you're in there, you might see there's cracked, or, you know, it's a great time to replace them.
Yeah, especially with the 7.3s, if you have the factory style, the, you know, just basic pipe, I would always change those out to bellow just from the start. You know, 6.0s, you might as well. Same thing with those. They're not easy to do when you're not, you know, taking a turbo out. But yeah, 6.4, same idea. But 6.4, you're going to be doing a lot when you do the turbos. Just, there's no other way to work on it. You know, cab off and do everything while you're there.
So this was really insightful, because when that question came across to us, you know, I thought, well, most people just replace them. Or every now and then I'd hear of somebody rebuilding it or something like that. But actually taking a look at this topic and chatting with you more about the options, I think it helps kind of clear up, okay, this is what I'm going to face when I have a turbo failure. What am I comfortable doing? Is there a resource locally that can balance it? If not, then what are my other options with the cartridge or a whole new turbo? And then also being able to address some other things with feed line drain tubes, you know, electronic stuff. So it was really helpful to be able to learn about it. I didn't ask the listener what kind of truck he had, so I'm not sure if it was a 5.9 or a 6.0 or what it was, but I think what we talked about covers really all of them. But I'm sure there's something I didn't ask you about a turbo issue or a particular truck. What's the best way for people to connect with you guys, either through email, phone, website, social media? What's a good way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, so the two best ways to contact us, on the website, we have a contact us page. You can email us directly at info@prosourcediesel.com, or call into our main line. It's 800-489-6820. Any of that gets you directly to us. Recently, we just switched. We're doing 7 days a week now. So we're open Saturday, Sunday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 6 to 4 on Friday, and then 8 to 5 on Saturday, Sunday.
Very cool. Yeah, I know. As fast as diesel's changing and the technology and the aftermarket and what it's doing, I'm sure there's a ton of stuff that we could chat about in the future, some really cool things you guys are working on that I know our listeners would love to hear about. But I appreciate you taking time today to chat with me, answer this listener's question, and then help me understand a bit more about my options when it comes to turbos and ways I can have a complete solution, not just with turbo itself, but other things that might just fail with time or age. So it was great to chat with you and you know, learn what you guys are doing, the expertise that you guys have, and ways that we can remedy our turbo failures.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for reaching out.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to Kershaw.KAIUSA.com. Use code 23Diesel20 for 20% off site-wide. It's a great way to save some money, get some really cool gear. If you need something for EDC, hunting, fishing, at home, at work, they've definitely got you covered with a ton of choices. And in 2023, they've had a whole bunch of new releases. One of the newest ones are the DuraLock models, which the blade's made out of D2 steel. There's different choices for blade shape, handle design, and the way that it opens and closes is really smooth. Keeps your fingers away from the blade when you're operating it. So if you're in the market, definitely make sure you head on over to their website and use code 23Diesel20 for 20% off site-wide. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen at 23 Diesel, J. Cole John, all of our other Patreon supporters, all of you who subscribe on YouTube and podcast apps, follow us on social media. We appreciate all your support here in Year 7 of the Diesel Podcast and look forward to bringing you guys more of the content that you want to hear in 2023. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.